Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the verses before today's gospel reading, our Lord Jesus Christ tells us that he has come to fulfill all of the scriptures. This is good news because we have not kept all that God has given us to do. And so, when we hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in today's gospel reading, we should not primarily think of, oh man, we haven't done this, we have no hope. We should be thinking about what Christ has done. And so this is what prompted the Apostle Paul to tell the Christians in Corinth in his first letter to them, you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. You see, our whole life as Christians is life in Christ. It is not simply, oh man, we haven't done enough. We better get on board and try to do better. It is rather who we are in Christ. And so, Jesus Christ, in giving us the words that he tells us, he is actually describing for us how we live. But listen to the way he does it. He says, you have heard it say, you shall not murder. And I tell you that if you murder, you will be liable to judgment. Before he even gives the fifth commandment, he says that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. The scribes and Pharisees were known for their attentiveness and lived virtuous and moral lives. Unless anyone exceeds their morality, then they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So the standard that Jesus sets before us, it's impossible, isn't it? How can we enter the kingdom of heaven if we have fallen short? And we hear when Jesus says, you shall not murder, we might be tempted to think, okay, well, I'm good to go there. I have not unlawfully taken the life of another individual. But Jesus, he ups the ante. He says, I tell you that if you are angry with your fellow Christian, then you are liable to judgment. That if you react in a way of hostility towards someone, then you are under the judgment of God. And if you even insult someone, then you are under the punishment of hell. This is simply an impossible standard for us to live up to. How can we do it? And of course, we know the answer. We cannot. Jesus also knows that we cannot. That is why he has done it all. So when we hear the words that he quotes from the fifth commandment, you shall not murder, and then he goes on to describe all these things that we must not do, we are very familiar with this kind of exhortation because we know the Ten Commandments. We heard them in the Old Testament reading. But here's how we usually think of the Ten Commandments, as simply that. You shall not do this, you shall not do this, and you shall not do this, and on and on. Rather than backing up, we usually start with the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. But that is not the way God starts. God starts with who he is and what he has done for his people. He says, as we heard in the Old Testament reading, I am the Lord your God. I am the one who brought you out of slavery. You see, the God who is the creator of his people is also the one who has saved his people. He delivered them from their bondage of slavery to the Egyptians, and then he laid out for them how they ought to live. Not just, you must not do this and you must not do this, but rather, you are now my people. You live in me. And we do not see the full force of the Ten Commandments if we simply see them as what we must not do. because by extension, they also show us what we ought to do. Not only must we not harm others, but we also ought to love them and do good for them and help them. This is expressed in the meaning to the fifth commandment in the small catechism. We should fear and love God so that we do not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. Now, of course, you and I have not done this. We have acted out in anger. But Jesus shows it's not simply in our actions, but also what is up here. Even our thoughts, even what is in here, we simply cannot live up to such a standard. And that is why Jesus came. He came because he has lived up to this standard. He has actually fulfilled the entire law of God. He alone has kept the Ten Commandments perfectly. He has done what we were unable to do. But even more, because of our sin, he has also taken upon himself all of our unrighteousness. We have not lived up to this standard, and so he has taken all our unrighteousness upon himself in his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Calvary was the ultimate altar, and he, the Lamb of God, was the ultimate sacrifice. It is because of this sacrifice, of the shed blood of the Lamb, that we are able to have new life, just as God saved his people, as we heard in the Old Testament reading. This is what prompted the Apostle Paul to say, "You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. The price is the blood of the Lamb." Now, Jesus shows us further that sacrifice is a very much a part of our life in Christ. He says that if you are bringing your gift to the altar, and then you remember that your brother or sister in Christ has something against you, then you should leave your gift there and go first and be reconciled to your brother or sister. You dare not offer up your gift at the altar if you are not in a reconciled relationship with someone else. Now, of course, for us, the altar is no longer primarily the place of sacrifice. You and I do not approach this altar and give a gift to God. We do not offer an animal which needs to be sacrificed. But make no mistake about it, this very altar and the altars of Christian churches everywhere is still a place of sacrifice. It's not what we are offering to God, and it's not even the Lamb of God needing to be sacrificed over and over again. But what is happening is the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, his body given on the cross, his blood shed in his death on the cross, is actually given to you as you eat and drink his very body and his very blood. By this, by his shed blood, your sins are forgiven. And we need to remember also that what is happening even more, or at least as much as you and I, each of us, individually communing at this altar, that it's not just you and I individually, but we are also communing with one another. We dare not approach the altar of God in unrepentant sin. We must not approach the altar of God if we have not reconciled with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to approach the altar of God as one mind, people who believe the same thing. And in this way, we approach the altar of God and we partake of the sacrifice of Christ's body and blood given to us to eat and to drink. And in this way, you and I are in Christ. Our lives are in Christ. you and I, we cannot live in the way Christ has set out for us in the gospel reading. But Christ has. He has. And so, when he tells us how to live, we must also see that he has already done it, and we are in him. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.